KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents the On Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
Well, neither are in the building today. Aaron Harder coming back from surgery, Ron Thomas on vacation. So your third stringer, Chuck Samples, is coming off the bench here this morning for the on-air chat. And we're glad that you're with us here today, though. Our on-air chat's brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, for demolition, for dirt hauling, and more. You can call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Hope that you're enjoying your 4th of July week. Hope that you get a chance to enjoy the holiday tomorrow. There's a lot of things happening in and out of town here. Has been since the weekend. We mentioned Admire has its City Park 3rd of July celebration taking place tonight with the ribbon cutting ceremony for the new multi-use court taking place at 6 this evening, kind of kicking things off. Lebo with its Red, White, Blue, and Bulls activities taking place tomorrow night in Lebo. City of Emporia with all of the activities that are coming up tomorrow evening on campus at Welch Stadium with municipal band performing at 8, and then the fireworks display probably shooting off around 9:45. Bernie Toso, the lead power technician, has said the show will go on. There is some concern about rain by the time, really wrapping up shortly after the potential launch time period at 9:45 tomorrow night. But things will be weatherproofed. So Bernie Toso has said that there will be a show tomorrow night. And again, you're encouraged to go to Welch Stadium or those the practice fields on the north side of Student Rec. Do not use ESU soccer fields because those will be off limits for the show. And if you need handicapped accessible parking, Art Annex off of Highland is your place to go. So just again, want to enjoy the holidays. Just wanted to let you know that we encourage you to enjoy the holidays here this week and really all the weekend through. And before we talk more about the 4th of July, and we could actually really talk 4th of July stuff here for our guest, who is Melissa Owen, who is the director of Beacon for Hope Suicide Prevention, really the founder, you could say, of Beacon for Hope Suicide Prevention with activities through Beacon now becoming commonplace on the schedule for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Several years.
Several years.
Melissa, great to see you. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Chuck?
Good. Mentioned here that your schedule is busy, and we were going to hit on three activities. Then we started hitting on more. And this first segment could be pretty lengthy because this is the one I had planned to talk about some upcoming activities and public events. But before we actually start diving into the schedule, I guess the question that I have to get started is, how do you manage your schedule now, given how busy it seems to get?
You know, I have three different calendars. I have a calendar on the wall that I can see it visually, what's coming up and how busy and where I can squeeze things in. I have a calendar on my desk where I can have little check marks to feel like I'm accomplishing what mm-hmm. I'm trying to do. And, of course, the almighty calendar in my phone, where if I didn't have that, I would forget a lot of things.
Yeah. So you said here you got some tick marks. I'm assuming you got a lot of tick marks on the calendar.
Yes,
now.
I do. Yeah, there a lot of tick marks, yes.
How successful has the year been from maybe an event schedule for you and really from an awareness schedule?
It's been great. You know, coming back from COVID, it was kind of hard finding places that were willing to have outreach events. And that is our, you know, awareness and education is really where we thrive. And so now we're back in the swing of things, we feel like. We have been out at the high school several times before the end of the school year, and that was great, being able to connect with teens. And our community events and surrounding community has had opportunities for us to table. So it's been great to be back out there talking to the community members and letting them know the resources that we have.
It's hard to go back to COVID as just different as our world was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can talk about events, we can talk about activities, we can talk about outreach, but how did your contacts with people who really needed crisis services in a big hurry, how did COVID change the game for them?
Oh, it was terrible, to be perfectly honest.
It was
hard to not being able to have those opportunities to identify people that needed the resources and the services and direct them to where they needed to go. Everything had to be online. So Facebook is honestly our number one platform where people will contact us.
Mm-hmm.
And Sundays is the busiest day of when people reach out because of the stressors of the new week starting. And that's how it's been from day one of the formation of Beacon.
Okay.
So we do have an automatic message that gives the resources, you know, if somebody is struggling, always willing willing to talk to somebody, you know, and then direct them to where they need to be.
How important is the visual side of that? You know, you mentioned here about gauging what essentially what services people need to go mm-hmm. to, and so you can go ahead and direct them where they need to be. But mm-hmm. how important is that, say, to have either in person or a Facebook Live or a Zoom link connection versus doing this by phone?
It's very important because you can read the nonverbals for somebody, especially when they're in crisis. It's hard to verbalize, you know, that they need help because they have a hard time verbalizing. They just know that they need to go talk to somebody. So being able to visually see them and then kind of, you know, ask a few questions that you know they'd be willing to answer and able to answer at that point really gauges us for the opportunity to be like, okay, so we need to get you to the emergency room. We can give you the 988 number. That would be, you know, a great opportunity for you to utilize that resource. Or we need to connect you with other crisis services.
And that would be local, regional, or state
right.
levels?
Right. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. We always recommend national first just because they're available 24/7. And we know that a crisis never happens between 8 and 5. So Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
So.
And to me, I know that there are a number of partners who are getting a chance to expand their services past the standard hours. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it just strikes me as odd that, you know, I think probably maybe from the federal level down, or maybe it was from the local level up, that there's, and I want to say federal level down, because mm-hmm. it just seems like there should have been some recognition earlier from the federal level
yes.
that there's going to be a significant portion of the caseload mm-hmm. is going to be developing between, I want to say, 7 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely, especially after 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, usually on a Sunday, it's after 8. I think people settle down and their house kind of settles down and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're in crisis and those irrational thoughts start, you know, impeding in their minds. And so they need somebody to talk to and nobody's open. So when they might be afraid to go to the emergency room and afraid to call 911 if that, you know, if
right.
that constitutes as well because of what could happen. So just being able to relay the information of what does happen if you do utilize those numbers or go to the emergency room, I think helps to really diffuse people's fears of utilizing the resources that we have.
You mentioned Sunday becomes a big day. After 7, 8 o'clock at night when your contacts really start
yes.
lighting up,
mm-hmm.
is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I know this goes on a day-to-day basis, a case-by-case basis, and you can't release details on something
right.
like this.
Mm-hmm.
But what with a call that comes in, and I'll say a call versus, say, a Zoom contact mm-hmm. or something like that. How important is it, kind of in an initial contact from somebody that hasn't reached out to you before, mm-hmm. Just to kind of calm nerves mm-hmm. first, and then go into kind of what what those needs are?
It's very important. So you want to find what we call their anchor. So you just have a conversation with them. You kind of let them just talk, you know, what's going on, you know, so you can kind of get a feel of what the situation is. I never ask what their age is, but you can kind of ascertain by how they're speaking, you know, mm-hmm. and their voice and such, you know, if they're younger. We do have a lot of individuals that contact us for fear of one of their friends and them not knowing what to do. So being able to walk them through and being able to teach them the skills of the listening first, you know, to calm the person down. And then, you know, can you tell me what's going on? You know, what's happened, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And that kind of makes, you know, the anxiety go up again, but at least you can get that person to a calm place first and then be able to kind of talk about, okay, what's the issue? And then, you know, okay, so this is really serious and we need to get other people involved and that sort of thing.
Okay. I want to ask you we're talking Beacon for Hope, but I want you now to, for this question only,
okay.
unless I think of something else, kind of take the Beacon for Hope hat off just for a second.
Okay.
And just
okay.
as person to person, mm-hmm. how hard would it be for a lot of folks, and I can see this, but how hard would it be for somebody to listen to somebody in crisis mm-hmm. and start ticking off, here's solutions. You need to do this, this, this,
yep.
this, and this,
yes.
instead of just like listening, soaking it in,
yes.
and then maybe developing a response plan from there.
Especially when you're dealing with with somebody who's suicidal, that's exactly what we want to do, because the knee-jerk reaction is we want to fix it because, A, it's very scary. Somebody has told you that they're contemplating taking their life and you don't know what to do, so your mind is automatically racing. And so you start really saying, well, have you done this? Well, you should do this. And then you start saying things that are unhelpful instead of helpful, you know, but that's just human nature. So it's very difficult to actively listen. And that, in every suicide prevention training I've ever been involved in and taken, active listening is the top thing that is taught first in the training before we get into the material, because it is very easy just to take over and like, okay, here's the issue. Okay, here's how we solve it. You know, here's all these options. Okay, let's try this, 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 and this.
Right.
And that is not what that individual needs.
Understood. Now, you say active listening. Mm-hmm. For folks that are maybe not familiar with that term, maybe they're familiar with the concept, but maybe they're not familiar with the term, what is the concept of active listening?
So active listening is when somebody is conveying their issue to you, their problem to you, that you say, you just let them tell what they're telling, their story. And so you're like, you know, and I understand, you know, I'm sorry you're going through that. Mm-hmm. You don't insert yourself in any way into what they're telling you. You don't tell them, well, you've been through that before, as they're telling you your story. You know, you don't take over and make it about you. You just let them get everything off of their chest first. Okay. And are fully engaged, eye contact, you're not distracted by your phone, anything else, just 100% engaged in what they're telling you.
Okay. Melissa Owen joining us, Beacon for Hope Suicide Prevention. This is a little bit of a tangent from what I was actually originally going to start with, and that was the event schedule, really the outreach schedule, the community engagement schedule, which is pretty busy.
It's very busy.
And I want to jump into that now because, boy, we're now less than 3 weeks away from really your first, well, I'm not going to say your first big summer event, your next big summer event.
Yes, yes. So Rage Against the Stigma is a brand new event that we're doing this year, and it is targeted for men's mental wellness. My best friend had lost her son to suicide a couple of years ago, and a few months ago she came to me and she says, hey, I would like for you to do an event in his memory. And I said, okay, what would you like to do? And she says, oh, I don't care, just as long as it focuses on men's mental health.
Okay.
So I formed a team of amazing local men in our community who are passionate about mental health, mental wellness, who have their own story and connection to mental health. And we devised all these different activities because I told them my definition of self-care is a lot different than, you know, your definition of self-care.
Sure.
What do men like to do to decompress in a healthy way?
Right. Understood. So, yes. Well, let's talk about
– okay.
There's a ton on the plate. Again, there this is going to be July 20th, Peter Pan Park. It's free starting at 10 a.m. in the morning and then continuing until early afternoon.
Yep.
And you've loaded up the schedule.
We have, yes. So one thing we find most important was we wanted to find somebody to be a lived experience speaker to connect with the community, especially when we're talking about men's mental health. So we're fortunate to have Officer Anthony Brown. He will be giving his story about his connection to mental wellness. He's on duty that day, so it should be around noon. It'll be about 15 to 20 minutes, just to be encouraging about what he's gone through when he was deployed, what it was like when he came back, and how it's been since, and what he does for his own self-care.
Okay.
Axe throwing, you know, with the mobile axe throwing. We thought that's a great way to have a lot of fun, so we were super excited to do that. Disc golf. We know that individuals love disc golf, and there's actually an mental health organization that is connected to the disc golf community.
Really?
Who is going to be providing some freebie things for us to give away, which is exciting. We didn't know that they existed.
Now you
Because they have found how disc golf has helped with self-care with individuals.
Okay.
So that's been amazing.
Good.
I have a good friend whose best friend does RC car racing and has a whole track that he is bringing. So you can come play with some RC cars and do that. One thing we had to have was a competition, is what I was told by all the men. So weightlifting competition. So whatever they decide that entails, I'm going to leave that to them. But it's going to be a lot of, I think, just bench pressing, who can, you know, the most amount of weight, that sort of thing. And Antique Tractor Club is going to come.
Awesome.
So just giving a little taste of that. And as of yesterday, we have an art therapy activity that will be there as well.
Good.
So, yes, lots of great things. Hopefully something for everybody,
mm-hmm.
That or something new that they can try that may help with their self-care.
Awesome. This is Rage Against the Stigma, which is coming up July 20th, 10 to 2 at Peter Pan Park. Free event. There's cool prizes on top of that, too.
Yes, yes. We'll have some cool prizes.
Awesome. Then later on, we've got, speaking of vehicles, you got Hope with Horsepower, third annual car show coming up in October.
Yep, it sure is. We are super stoked about that. This year, we are taking the – we had to try to condense our events because there's so many. I mean, I want to do all of them, but it's just not possible.
You'd be losing tick marks, I think, on your calendar if you did. Yeah.
So we decided to take the elements from our walk and institute them into our car show this year.
Oh, cool.
So this year you're going to have we're going to try to get as many local organizations that we can there to give their resources out. It's just so important for us to connect the community with the resources that we have because that all impacts our mental health. And there are a lot of resources that people don't know about. I'm still learning about all the great resources that are available here. We'll have a whole vendor fair, so we're inviting anybody with a home-based business to come. We don't charge for you to have a table there. We just want you to be able to make a little money and to connect with the community as well. And we'll have some memory activities like we do at the walk to, you know, memorialize those who lost to suicide, and if you struggle and you want to be identified as well. But yeah, just come see some great cars. It's a lot of fun. And talk to the people who own the cars. That's what's really fun, learning their stories. And I got into car shows by talking with the people, by going to them first, and then realizing how much their cars meant to them in regards to if they came back from being overseas or that it really was their self-care and they connected with doing that, having something to do with their hands and how proud they were, you know, of doing that and showing it and all of those things. So it's really a positive, fun event for everybody.
Yeah. So that's the third annual Hope with Horsepower Car Show. Put that on your calendar, October 5th. That'll be at Soden's Grove. And before we take our first break, I wanted to bring up I was actually going to go into 25 for the Masquerade Ball. Mm-hmm. More on that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you've got a huge opportunity coming up here, the way it sounds, in September.
Yes.
At the statewide level.
Yes, we were asked to present at a statewide mental health conference that's taking place in Manhattan. At first, it was just for us to be a sponsorship, to be part of it, which of course we support all efforts that are going on in the state of Kansas. But then also asked to provide a workshop, which is a little intimidating because I don't like to speak in front of people. And then when she told
microphone notwithstanding.
That's right. But then when she said 75 minutes, that really got intimidating. But after really thinking through of what my workshop is going to be and to make it fun and interactive, it's all going to be about community connections. How do we connect with our community so we can support one another to help prevent crises? So I'm excited. I'm nervous and excited at the same time.
Have you got your talking points all lined up yet?
No,
you got time.
Yet. I do have time. Yes. I just sent the synopsis last Friday. So yes, that'll be the next 2 months. I will be concentrating on that. Yeah. Making sure that is pristine.
Outstanding. Yes. Well, that actually serves as a good launching point to our next segment, because I want to talk about ongoing partnerships when it comes to Beacon for Hope Suicide Prevention. We're joined in studio by Melissa Owen, who's the director and founder of Beacon for Hope. Again, just don't forget, though, Rage Against the Stigma, which is the men's mental wellness event, is coming up July 20th. That's a Saturday from 10 until 2 at Peter Pan Park. Free event, lots of things happening, cool prizes on top of that. And then benefiting veteran suicide prevention is the third annual Hope with Horsepower Car Show. That'll be October 5th at Soden's Grove. It's 10:26 on KVUE as our on-air chat continues here today. It's brought to you this morning by Bruce Davis Construction.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at headlines being brought to you by JanU Tech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. She has the experience to get the job done in today's real estate market. Give Jan a call at 620-343-5100. Now from the 24-hour Key VOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. The man accused of breaking into a family's apartment in North Emporia this past weekend is now on indefinite suspension from the Emporia State football team. Michael Horrell, age 19, initially from Andalusia, Alabama, had transferred from Highland Community College earlier this year. Head of media relations Don Wiest with ESU Athletics says that Horrell is on suspension as the legal process unfolds, and that does include a preliminary hearing July 25th. Formal charges are now pending against the driver and passenger after two alleged chases starting in Emporia yesterday. 37-year-old Frederick Beecher Hogue was the driver. 36-year-old Sarah Rogers of Granby, Missouri, was listed as the passenger. Both arrested. Formal charges again pending. And Chase County Sheriff Jacob Welch says an Illinois man was arrested after a pursuit started near the Lyon-Chase County line and ended in Franklin County on Sunday. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Well, lots of cloud cover today. Chances of showers and storms. Low and severe weather risk for this afternoon and late tonight. High of 83 degrees. Low of 68 tonight. For the 4th of July, a lot of sunshine. Slight chance of showers and storms. Low and severe weather risk during the day. A high of 88. Friday, look for sunny and 84. Saturday, sunny and 89. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Currently, we do have a few raindrops, 77 degrees, at KVOE Live and Local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by JNU Tech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. For buying or selling a home or property, contact Jan at 620-343-5100.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia, KVOE.com. Continuing the on-air chat here today, brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction, with our guest in studio today, Melissa Owen for Beacon for Hope Suicide Prevention. Busy schedule. We haven't gone through it all yet. We'll actually loop back to a big 2025, early 25 event here before we're done here today. And also a couple of other things that you will be noticing for Beacon for Hope and really for the community coming up really the next several months, and then one of which is coming up within the next week. So that's coming a little bit later on here as we continue on the on-air chat here today. Again, don't forget that, speaking of events, Hope with Horsepower is coming up October 5th. That's the annual car show benefiting veteran suicide prevention. Rage Against the Stigma, the brand new event on the calendar, is July 20th, 10 until 2 for Peter Pan Park, the location, and that is the men's mental wellness event. So more on that coming up here in just a little bit as well. You know, one of the things, Melissa, that doesn't totally plan out here this way, but it worked out really well. As you mentioned here, you got the statewide conference in Manhattan.
Yes.
Coming up here in a couple of months. And, you know, with Beacon for Hope's not only history, but I think really the willingness that you've had to reach out in any and all directions, mm-hmm. to people, to organizations, to agencies, nonprofit, mm-hmm. or maybe government,
yep.
You've been able to amass quite the list of contacts and hopefully some fruitful partnerships here when it comes to mental and wellness matters here over the last several years.
We have. One of our newest partnerships is with Bloomhouse. You know, this year we've really kind of made it a goal to target the teen population because of all of the issues coming out of COVID that have been identified by the high school themselves and just our participation there over the last few years, and veterans. Those are kind of our two passions this year of really developing those partnerships, mm-hmm. and making new resources, just trying to reach teens different ways, whether it's via social media, where it's via, you know, something the size of a business card, a bookmark, you know, just how can we impact positively? So Bloomhouse, we teamed up with and hosted the Dump Suicide.
Right. Just
Staying Alive.
Yeah.
101 down at the Granada Theater. And that whole event was for just, it's a free event for teens to come through, young adults, you know, 15, 14 through 24, just young adults. And the Dump Suicide part was, you come, we have these journals, you got to decorate the front of a journal. And then, you know, some people like to journal, mm-hmm. But the brain dump part of that is just getting everything out on paper. It didn't have to be pretty. We had all of these embellishments, you know, and they got to take things with them, you mm-hmm. know, sort of thing. And then the Staying Alive 101 is like the vision board part of it. Okay, what are your goals? What are the things things that you're going to aspire to keep you alive. So
sure.
Hoping to connect and really utilizing the art therapy access that we have through the program at Emporia State. They have great interns there. They get mm-hmm. to interact with the kids and seeing those relationships. So that was a really cool event to see, because that was something new for us to see how teens were willing to relate to perfect strangers that were guiding them through these events. That was great yeah. because the teens, it's a way for us to identify that's something we can do mm-hmm. that is not intrusive to them. It's a very relaxed atmosphere. And if they want to talk, they can. And if they, you know, if they don't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How important is to get it out? You know, whether it's in a kind of in a nonverbal mm-hmm. activity like
yes.
that or to talk with somebody. How important is it, regardless of which method you'd use, mm-hmm. just in order to quote unquote, have it out there?
Oh, it's so important. You know, I think we've all had that something that's really bothered us, and we don't want to put that burden on somebody else, you know, because of what the response might be of why are you worrying about that? But it's a big worry, you know, to us. It's so important because as soon as you can get it out somewhere, it's like the weight of the world comes off of your shoulders, I feel like. And that's what we see a lot of times with people that, you know, come to us and open up to us, even at a public outreach event. You know, we will see them later on, a few weeks later, a month later, and they will thank us for listening that day because they felt so much better just having someone listen to them. So just having that opportunity, whether you're comfortable with verbally saying it to somebody or being able to create something that gets it out in the same way that makes you feel better. And then you can go back later to see how far you've come.
I wanted to ask you, because you brought up a really interesting point about, you know, people at an event, whether it's, say, like a tabling or maybe one of these upcoming mm-hmm. activities, who are willing to reach out to you right then
yes.
and there, right out in the open yep. for everybody, you mm-hmm. know, for you know, whoever's nearby to listen to
yes.
or all to see. Mm-hmm. Does that surprise you? I mean, you've been doing it for a number of years. Does that surprise you, or has it always, you know?
It does surprise me because I'm more of a private person, so I'm more of a one-on-one in a private location. Okay. But the individuals that are willing to speak openly and loudly about it where others can hear, you will see people stop. And immediately I see, okay, there's going to be a connection because mm-hmm. that's our whole goal for any of our events. You know, hope links us together is, you know, our hashtag, kind of our mantra. So our hope is that at one of these events or even at outreach, you know, tabling where you just happen to be there at the table at the same time, then that conversation kind of takes off
mm-hmm.
over here privately, which is great. So sometimes the individuals that start connecting surprises me because it's like, wow, you know, they've always been really introverted and now they're extroverted
now
and they
want
to share their story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun to see that side of individuals too, that they feel safe to do that.
Mm-hmm. Looping back to partnerships, because mm-hmm. you mentioned here youth mm-hmm. and to me it's sobering to think at how young we're starting to talk about mental health matters.
Yes.
Because I think it's what, middle school or maybe even some cases elementary school mm-hmm. where we're these kind of conversations are needed.
They're very much needed. Middle school especially. So our goal is to hopefully get into middle school. You know, we try to make talking about suicide prevention fun. That's, mm-hmm. you know, every presentation I give and people kind of give you that odd look. But then when you have, you know, it's not the doom and gloom, we'll give you the stats so you can see the scope of the problem.
Right.
But we want to empower people to, here's how you can help, you know, by simply listening. That's how you can help. By having a physical resource you can give to somebody, you know. We have magnets that have the 988 number on there, you know, just any that we can all help. You know, you don't have to be the counselor. We're not counselors, but, you know, you can be a gatekeeper of being able to have all these resources to hand out. So, you know, it's so important, I think, the younger the better, so we can start talking about it, so we can catch it before it turns into a crisis situation.
How important is it to have the experience that they've had at Emporia High, mm-hmm. you know, as you try to make those inroads at Emporia Middle School?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's so important. I think we can duplicate what we're doing at Emporia High. I mean, you know, we bribe kids over with candy and shiny things.
It always works.
You know,
it doesn't matter.
That's right. You know, and then they ask about, you know, the subject matter. And then inevitably one out of the group will open up. And it's interesting that was what was surprising to me in an outreach situation was the amount of teens that were so open about talking about it. That surprised me, knowing how normally teens will go to their peers before they're going to come to an adult. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know these students at all. So for them to be so open about it is encouraging, because they can be open with their peers to encourage them to go to an adult, you know, or to utilize a resource. So I think we can duplicate that to middle school parents and to middle schoolers themselves.
Now I'm going to shift over to your other main focus, and that's veterans.
Yes.
And I guess the question now comes up to me that I hadn't thought of before is, how similar of an approach do you take with veterans versus teenagers, considering their circumstances are, at least based off of their age ranges, mm-hmm. entirely different.
Yes. So working closely with veterans is so important. So I work very closely with Frank Lowry, and he and I, we have a lot of brainstorming sessions of what is the proper way to reach veterans. What would be, you know, what is a veteran going to engage in, you know, without feeling vulnerable to have to identify themselves as somebody that struggles, you know, just because of the various age ranges. You know, you have the boomers and above where, you know, you don't talk about mental health and they compartmentalize it. And so, you know, to take a resource or to admit they've utilized, you know, the 988 number or the texting number that's just for veterans. So he and I had just had a conversation yesterday about brainstorming of how can we reach them. So one of the things that we've developed is placing the 988 number out at the All Veterans Memorial, just to have a metal sign out there that has it on there. They can privately take it, as well as brochures, because mm-hmm. We have brochures that are geared toward family members of veterans, how you can help your veteran as well. So just trying to ease in to try to identify, you know, the car show was great. Last year was wonderful. As veterans were leaving, they really thanked us for hosting it for them. And that's, you know, and that's what it's all about, for them to feel, you know, that they're part of something still, even mm-hmm. though they're away from who they were in combat with.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, you know, we mentioned here about these particular focal points, but let's talk a little bit about some of the other partnerships that you're, you know, engaging in at the state level, mm-hmm. regional state level, because I know you got a lot here locally. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with that conference coming up here in September, mm-hmm. folks across the state recognize what you're doing and how well you're doing it.
So we work very closely with Headquarters HQ up in Lawrence, which is the 988 Lifeline here in Kansas. So every month I get the numbers from them to see. It's hard for us to really measure if what we're doing is effective, because we can give people, you know, the resources, but we don't know if they're utilizing them or not. So the more active we are in outreach, we notice that there is a rise in numbers for the amount of calls coming from Lyon County.
Really?
And a lot of people panic at that number, but we think it's great, because it's not that more people are in crisis, they're just utilizing the resource.
Basically, you're demonstrating that you're meeting the need.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So that's really our best performance measure that we have for Lyon County, to see if the more we outreach, the more calls that come in, which is great. They also come to our events and table, which is wonderful. So they have it. Yeah, I think it's important, especially with the Crisis Lifeline, that you kind of have a face behind the phone. So you have a person that's representing them to really walk you through what the process is if you call. What's the mm-hmm. process if you text or if you're online?
Okay.
So that kind of eases that fear of using the resource. And they always bring cool swag, too.
There you
so,
go.
You know, and that's always a seller, too. So, it's, you know, it's a win-win. So I'm also part of the Kansas statewide suicide prevention coalition that we have here.
Okay.
So it's broken into a lot of committees, and the committee that I'm on is the outreach committee and the resources, because I want to know what's working in other communities mm-hmm. that we can kind of implement here. So there's been kind of a rebuilding of that. So it's restructured right now, but they have a 5-year plan of really how we can implement kind of a unified suicide prevention plan through the entire state that hopefully each county will implement.
What are you hearing across the state that's you could pull that is working mm-hmm. there that could work here?
Training really has been the topic for the last 2 months in our meetings, about how, you know, by training either the key people, what they identify as key people in the building, or, you know, key people in an organization, of having, you know, people trained in what to look for in either their own employees, the clientele that they serve, their customers that come in is really key. So I am a QPR trainer myself. It is it's a question, persuade, refer. It's a 1 hour intro to suicide prevention training, and you'll see more about that in the fall. We're going to kick up those trainings again.
Okay.
It's just learning what are the warning signs, what are the risk factors, and what are the resources in your community. And we're going to teach you how to do all of that without fear of liability, you know, and that's a lot of hesitation too, is trying to take away, you know, we're constantly trying to work on taking away the stigma
right.
surrounding mental health,
yep.
but then trying to take away the fear of those who want to help, that, you know, that you're not liable for somebody's life, that you can, you know, give them the resources, you know, be that support for that person in okay. the time of need.
All right. I'm going to flip the question, then we're going to take our final break.
Okay.
What are you quizzed on that's working here mm-hmm. that folks across the state are saying, hey, look, how are you working this so we can help our own communities?
Honestly, it's our events. So we are one of the only suicide prevention organizations in the state. We helped form another one down in Wichita, but they have dissolved into another entity now, so they're no longer a 501c3.
Yeah.
So it is, how do you gather people, you know, to really buy in to your message? And so they have utilized different events, aspects of our events, to try in their own communities, which is great. You know, usually it starts with a walk, just mm-hmm. getting people together, which is great. So how to bring people together. And
yeah.
so I've really been able to share the successes and the, you know, we tried this and that didn't work. So, you know, but at least we tried, you know,
right.
just how to grab different populations in our community.
Outstanding. It's 10:43 here on KVUE as our on-air chat continues. Melissa Owen joining us, Beacon for Hope, Suicide Prevention Director and Founder. We're going to take our final break here on the on-air chat. Come back. A lot of you know Melissa's story. We'll talk more about that, how that helped to develop Beacon for Hope, and all of the other things that are happening here between now and early January, because we hit on a few, but there's more stuff coming here very soon. So that's coming up here as the on-air chat continues today, brought to you this Wednesday morning by Bruce Davis Construction.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines, being brought to you by Jan Utech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. For buying or selling a home or property, contact Jan at 620-343-5100. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, and a look at all the sports you need, here is Blake Cripps.
Well, it was a long and soggy day at the office for the Royals yesterday. They battled the Rays and the rain, a 5-1 defeat to Tampa Bay. The game ended just after midnight. A 2-hour, 27-minute rain delay, actually longer than the game itself. Bobby Wood Jr. had his 13th home run of the season, but that was it offensively for Kansas City. Brady Singer, solid. He lasted 5 innings, gave up 3 hits and 1 earned run, but he took the loss. Same two teams tonight, 7:10 first pitch at Kauffman Stadium. You can hear the game right here on KVOE. New Look Big 12 releasing their 2024 preseason polls and team yesterday. Both in-state schools received first-place votes. Utah is the favorite to win the league, 20 first-place votes. They're the preseason pick to win the conference. Kansas State picked second with 19 first-place votes, followed by Oklahoma State. Kansas fourth in the football preseason poll. Yes, you heard that right. 5 first-place votes for the Jayhawks, and Arizona was picked fifth. 2 Jayhawks on the preseason All-Big 12 team, Kobe Bryant and Melo Dotson, both are senior defensive backs. Kansas State men's basketball revealing a non-conference game against Drake set for December 17th at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. 13th Wildcat Classic at the building. Kansas State has won 10 of the previous 12 Wildcat Classics. Wildcats beat Wichita State in the game last season. Just the second matchup of the new millennium between the Bulldogs and the Wildcats, most recently played in November of 2020. That's sports from the KVOE Sports Desk. I'm Blake Cripps.
Thank you, Blake. Sports headlines brought to you today by Jan Utech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. In this tight housing market, when you find a home you like, don't delay. Call Jan at 620-343-5100.
segment for the on-air chat here today, 1047 on KVUE and KVUE.com. We hope that you're enjoying your 4th of July week, and I hope you get a chance to really enjoy the 4th of July holiday activities that the community and the area has to offer here the next several days. Again, Melissa Owen joining us here this morning, Beacon for Hope Suicide Prevention Director and Founder. A lot of you know Melissa's story as to really how Beacon developed, at least initially, but for those that don't, I figured this would be as good a time as any for folks to hear really how your fight against suicide developed and really kind of the roots of what has transpired over the last several years through Beacon.
Absolutely. So back in 2006, I lost my sister to suicide. And it was really hard, not only losing her, but not being able to connect with anybody who'd ever had a loss to suicide before, because it was such a taboo, you know, topic that nobody ever talked about it. And if anybody ever identified themselves as losing, you know, a family member, that person was kind of shut out. Yeah, you're kind of placed
kind
over
of
here on
to
an
the
island.
Side.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
So,
and it's amazing too. Just to interrupt, though, it's mm-hmm. amazing too because even back then, there are so many people who. You know, relatively notable people who mm-hmm. were dying
yes.
by suicide, and it was in the news.
Yes,
but it seemed like that was as far or as maybe I should say as near mm-hmm. as it got to people.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I lived in Manhattan, lived away from Emporia, so away from my parents. You know, and that was difficult too. I had really young children, so my focus was really on them. When we moved back to Emporia, when I was in Manhattan, I worked with a really amazing individual, and she was somebody you could confide in. And she was the first person I opened up to about, you know, how my sister died and such. And I related to her because she related to me how her mom had died from cancer, and that she really felt alienated, and people looked at her, you know, with pity instead of support. And that was what you're met with when you identify yourself that you lost a loved one to suicide. It's that look. And I always warn people who lose a loved one to suicide that there is a look, and you'll know it when you see it. So you always end up comforting that other person instead of the other way around because they're uncomfortable of how sure. your loved one died. So when we came back to Emporia, I was at the fair one year, and there was a table set up that had a suicide loss support group, which I had never heard of before.
Huh.
And it took me, I think, 2 days. I went back two times because mm-hmm. I was one of those you walk by and you know, it's like, oh, I wasn't
like, you see,
yes,
still see a lot
like
of yours.
See,
yeah.
Yes. And I wasn't ready to walk up, but I did. And I'm so thankful that I did because I connected with Vicki Seastrom, who I found out that she had lost her son to suicide. And I went to high school with him, so I knew her son well.
Wow.
Mm. So that's how I started with connecting with people who'd had a loss. Well, then it turned into, after I think two support groups, and it was very small. I think there was a total of four of us was it. So it was great, an intimate group
mm-hmm.
That the national organization, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, was hosting a walk here. And one of the ladies, the head of our support group, was the one organizing it. And she had done it the year before, and she didn't want to do it again. So all of a sudden, I wanted to do it because I wanted to bring people together so they didn't feel like they were alone, and to bring awareness so nobody had to go through what our family had gone through and continues, you know, to live with. So I did that from 2015 to 2017, and it went from community walks to campus walks because I found a passion for Emporia State students
yep.
And everything. But then I was frustrated because the funds that were being raised weren't coming back to Emporia. So we would ask for certain things that we wanted identified, you know, what would work for our community, and the national office would tell us no. We wanted to establish scholarships, you know, and just all these things mm-hmm. to take burden off and to ease. So that was frustrating to me, and I didn't want to be, you know, associated with that anymore. So I remember going to my dad one day and sitting down on his couch, and I said, I'd like to start a nonprofit, but I don't know how. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, I think you need to go talk to an accountant. And that's really how it started.
That's a good place to start, yeah.
And that's how it started. Went and saw Tim Wright,
mm-hmm.
Who had suffered his own loss. And he was amazing in getting Beacon off the ground and securing a lawyer that filed all of our paperwork and, you know, paid for everything that we needed to do. And off we went. So just wanting that local feel so people knew that any funds that were coming in to Beacon locally were going right back out. to the community. We pay for all the resources that we have. We pay for all the printing and all of that, so nobody ever has that financial burden of wanting a resource in their office or their business or anywhere, you know. So, and just being able to connect with our community, really embed ourselves in the community, because we know that it's stressful and that people go through things every day that, you know, you'd be shocked probably by the amount of burden that people carry every day, and they don't have anybody to talk to about it. So Beacon is, you know, the lighthouse. My sister loved lighthouses, so I knew it had to be a lighthouse.
And for the logo, you mean?
Yes, yeah. For the logo, mm-hmm. Yes. And I have one very unique piece that was made just for me that has her. It's a lighthouse on sand, and it has her initials in the sand. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just being able to be a light for somebody who, because when you're in that dark place, you know, and all hope is gone, you know, it can be scary. And so letting people know that everybody who is involved in Beacon for Hope on my board of directors, they have a direct connection to suicide, whether it be they've lost somebody or they've attempted or they still struggle. Mm-hmm. So I think having that unique band of people too, who every one of them is willing to tell their story, that, you know, you see it, everybody's successful, you know, they're living full lives, but they still struggle with everyday things. And there are times when depression and anxiety take over, and that's okay. But here are the coping mechanisms, and here's people you can reach out to.
Yeah. Is it getting easier to tell your story or to tell your sister and your sister's story? Because obviously you're intertwined, obviously, until you pass on now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But is it getting easier to tell your stories?
I speak a lot at in classes at Emporia State, and I notice I go in with all the confidence because I know what I'm going to talk about and we're going to do something. But as soon as I start telling her story, I'll choke up once. Take a deep breath, and then I'm able to, you know, it still catches me, you know, because when you actually say the words that you've lost your loved one to suicide, you know, it really, the reality of it, even though you know that they're gone, but still, you know, telling somebody else makes it real, you know.
Yeah.
And it can be upsetting to people in your audience as well, because they think of their loved one and stuff. But I think the more vulnerable and transparent that you can be, that you're able to be with your story, and it takes time. It's taken me a lot of time to, you know, be fully, you know, full story, mm-hmm. you know, and such. I think it helps so many people.
Yeah. Other question that came up to me was looking at how Beacon started, mm-hmm. you know, starting as that 501c3 mm-hmm. effort, just you know, to really focus on the local side of things. Mm-hmm. Was this kind of your game plan to go at a state level, or is this kind of just using a gardening analogy? You know, Travis Carmichael won't be on with us here tomorrow because it's 4th of July, but it's kind of an organic offshoot of what you initially had planned.
Yes. You know, at first it was to be local, but my sister didn't pass away in Lyon County. So the goal has always been to kind of get closer to where she passed away in Douglas County. But as more opportunities have, you know, risen, and, you know, especially out in Western Kansas, you know, we look at stats in Western Kansas, and it's so, I mean, they don't have a lot of resources out there.
Not a lot of people here, yeah, to be
right.
honest. Yeah.
Yeah. So being able to go where it's needed in our state is the dream. Being able to offer trainings, we can travel out there and do trainings. We can, you know, send resources to you. We can try to connect you in your own community, you know, teach how do you make the connections? That's one of the biggest things. How do you network with the organizations you need to be networking with? Mm-hmm. So just being able to provide those insights is the hope moving forward.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got a few more things we've got to get to here this morning. One of which is folks can expect to see a brand new website. Is it going to be the same web address?
Uh-huh. It is. Yes.
Okay. So hopelinks.org.
Yes.
How soon are we going to see that?
Hopefully Friday. It's been,
really?
Yeah, we've been working on it for a couple of months, been tweaking it. With the resources, every logo, every interactive piece that's on there, I'm trying to make everything clickable and really easy to go on to offshoots of resources and other organizations in town that we collaborate with. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So hopelinks.org, mm-hmm. refresh. Yep. How different is that page going to look when it's done?
Oh, it's very inviting. When you first bring it up, it has this beautiful blue, and it has this, like, it's It's like a moonlight scene with a butterfly that's glowing.
I mean, there you go.
It just embodies hope. And then we have a veterans tab. We have a separate veterans page that we've dedicated to have a bunch of links on there. But you're going to find warning signs and protective factors and resources, our supporters you're going to find on there. Training opportunities are going to be on there. Upcoming events, how to register for them with ease, where they're located, what and what to expect from them. Because I think that's important. There's nothing worse than going to an event that you feel like you're kind of on the spot or some reason that the focus is on you. So we just want to make make sure that we're very specific in what our events are so nobody is, you know, hesitant to attend them.
Speaking of veterans, getting heavily involved the way it sounds in Wreaths Across America. First go was last fall, went really well, and it sounds like you guys are really jumping in.
We are, yes. So we signed up to be part of that, and that will be on our website as well to link through there because we just think it's so important to be able to identify and be able to do that here in our community.
And another thing coming soon, the way it sounds, is a partnership with, or maybe we can say, underway now with details soon.
Yes.
And that's the partnership with AmeriCorps.
Yes, yes. So we recently were granted a fund through the AmeriCorps program, through their VISTA program. So you will be seeing information about how you can apply to work for Beacon for Hope, which is very exciting, which is a lot of our outreach opportunities, our events, and all of that. Well, you'll really see the behind the scenes of what Beacon does.
Awesome. Okay. Now, for folks that missed the start of the program, don't forget that the Rage Against the Stigma Men's Mental Wellness event is coming up July 20th. So it's coming up in a couple of weeks. It's a Saturday, 10 to 2 at Peter Pan Park with axe throwing, disc golf putting contest. There's going to be remote control car races. There's a show and shine car show, antique tractors, food trucks, which I didn't mention, but had to leave the best for last there. Weightlifting competition and more. So put that on your calendar, July 20th. Again, that's a Saturday. Peter Pan Park. Then there's the 3rd Annual Hope with Horsepower Car Show, October 5th at Soden's Grove. That's benefiting veteran suicide prevention. And oh, by the way, the Unmasking Suicide Masquerade Ball is coming up early next year.
It is. I've always dreamed of having a winter-themed masquerade ball.
Oh,
so
fun.
We decided to kick off the year with it. So January 25th at the Emporia Granada Theater, we will have our winter-themed masquerade ball.
Is going to be pretty similar to what masquerade balls have been in years past?
Okay.
Melissa, anything else that you wanted to add here this morning before we close things down here on the chat?
Just if anybody would like to volunteer or learn how they can get involved in Beacon for Hope, to send us an email or give us a call or go to our website and send us a contact me, fill out the contact me form. We would love to have you. We have a lot of opportunities to volunteer with different things that we do, so you can kind of see what Beacon does, and we value, you know, input of what we can do to help spread our message further and bring more awareness to our community.
Okay. HopeLinks.org. You can find Hope Beacon for Hope on Facebook, call, email, reach out on social media, any way possible. Melissa, thanks so much for your time
here today. Thank you.
Have a great 4th.
You too.
Next time we bring Melissa on, we've got to talk about the Mustang. I did not do that. I failed to do that today. That's the on-air chat here this Wednesday morning, July 3rd, brought to you today by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, it's Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. 11 o'clock on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM Emporia, and KVOE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia, AM 1400 KVOE Emporia.